Well, welcome.
Welcome. Hello. Indeed.
I feel like it's been a while, right?
Has it?
I feel like
it's been
has.
A couple of weeks. Yeah, it's hasn't been as weeks. Long as sometimes.
I mean, sometimes we're on like just a total just workhorse
doing
every
it,
week.
Doing yeah. it, doing it. Although I think next week there is a Roco coming out.
Is there
out.
Really? Okay.
I think it's a good one. Didn't we discuss that?
Is it which one?
I don't know. You emailed me about it. Anyway.
Oh
listen,
yeah. Okay.
That's
yeah.
that's like behind the scenes stuff.
Coming down the pipe.
We
yeah.
really shouldn't.
No.
There are dirty laundry here.
Well, how's it going?
Oh, it's good.
Anything?
What about this guy? Oh, we're
oh,
not
yeah.
introducing
well, we're doing
him
the
yet?
How is
oh,
it going
okay.
part of the cast in case there's anything interesting.
Right.
You know?
Well, Harper became a brownie.
I know.
So that's
which is
exciting
great.
For her and me.
And for everyone.
She's just
yeah.
growing up, you know?
Now,
cycle of life.
Are there any sort of like?
Doesn't that sound?
What would be the example of? Because I was a Boy Scout.
I really want to include Tony.
Okay, yeah, all right. Let's include something. Okay, because we can do a little how we're doing segment for all.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, our guest is
repeat
friend
offender.
Of the show coming back.
Yep.
Tony Carvalho.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Natasha, for having me back.
You're
on the,
welcome.
On the
You're
review.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
I love the cast, as you know.
If you really love the cast, you would know that I was on Twin Peaks because, according to Nate, I bring
yeah.
it up a lot. It just happens
okay.
to come up, you know?
Yeah,
apparently it's not that much because he is a fan in the cast.
He is a fan.
He listens, and yet he didn't know.
Right. I mean,
therefore proving.
But I'm here for everyone,
that's
so.
That's true.
And then we maybe also talk outside of the cast, too.
Sometimes.
So, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe as a friend. You think I bring it up?
Yeah. Here's my notes as a friend. Well, we were just talking about this brownie thing. I don't know if you heard that, Tony. We were talking about
Natasha
becoming a brownie.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't mm-hmm. listening until you introduced
oh,
me.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Natasha's daughter is now a brownie.
Yeah.
Well, I,
yeah.
I was going to ask this. I used to be a Cub Scout and then a Boy Scout.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that. That deal. I know what goes
mm-hmm.
on there.
You know, Brett's an Eagle Scout.
Is he really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, what a
is
geek.
Is anyone
yeah.
surprised? Oh, no.
Just, no,
yeah.
impressive.
Oh,
I'm wondering,
exactly.
what, did he tell you what his geeky project was? Because in
I,
order to
no.
become an Eagle Scout,
you have to do
the
that.
Last thing is, it's almost like, you know, you have this thesis or whatever, and so you do this project.
Really?
It's typically some sort of public works kind of,
oh,
you know, do-gooder
well,
thing.
As a
yeah.
He was a Mormon
yeah.
at that time.
Yes.
He did a lot of do-gooder stuff, I'm sure. It was
yeah.
just another one of the things he did.
Right, right.
You're just jealous, because it means he can do anything.
Yes, I'm totally jealous. Oh, I wish I could have been. Well, because you know what's funny, and I think is interesting, is if you're a boy or a Cub Scout, to get into Boy Scouts, typically, if you went all the way through Cub Scouts, the last thing is you earn this thing called the Arrow of Light.
Ooh,
okay.
That sounds impressive.
It is impressive, you know, and it looks cool and this sort of thing. Well, I dropped out of Cub Scouts, okay?
Of course.
And then I had some friends.
Typical.
I know, right? And then they were like in Boy Scouts and convinced me to join Boy Scouts. I was like, did I have to earn the Arrow of Light? No, I just joined it.
Really?
And so it was like, ah, this is bullshit.
Mm.
You know, what's the whole Arrow of Light thing? And it's like, it's cool and stuff, but it's not required. It should be required,
mm-hmm.
I think. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Well, when you're running your troop.
Oh, yeah.
You can make them.
Which is going to happen soon. I'm going to start it off soon. But more to the point, what I wanted to know is, what's an example of, because I know they have the sash, and
mm-hmm.
they have little badges
she
and stuff.
She has a tunic. She
yeah,
has a tunic.
A tunic, okay, mm-hmm. yeah.
No sash.
No sash.
You can choose.
Oh, that's there's brownies and there's Girl Scouts.
And she chose yeah. the tunic.
Well, the yeah. leader, I'm technically a co-leader, but
nice.
I don't do anything.
Yeah.
The leader is very type A, she
no.
likes to, and I just kind of, I step out of the way of those kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Let them do their thing.
Right.
If they need something, they can ask me.
Right.
I have a bit of a rebellious streak when that comes up, too. Like, she did ask me to do one thing, and I kind of failed.
Right. So even the one thing that you were asked to do, you, mm-hmm. you didn't do.
Well, she asked me to play in one lesson, and I
should we turn on the air? What do we think?
Well, I'm wearing a sweater.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
need to. I asked how
I'm feeling great.
Okay, great.
He's feeling great. Anyway,
we're
what
in a car,
was the
ladies
question?
And gentlemen.
Oh,
they
know.
Okay.
Unless it's your first time, if it's your first time,
it might be. A lot of people are going to be tuning in because
you know
they
what?
See my name.
That's true.
That's true.
Please, please tweet about it.
I'll be Natasha. You may think I'm joking. I'll be tweeting. I'll be Facebooking. Making appointments to have lunch with people just so I can tell them about this.
That's great.
Throw it in as a talking point.
It will.
Maybe some meetings. Schedule some meetings.
Right. I'm sure my phone will be ringing.
You are a prolific Facebooker.
It's definitely going to garner some meetings. People are going to be like, you know he's doing the cast.
Well, this cast has launched many a career.
That's true.
And I'm excited. True. Very excited.
Have you noticed what a prolific Facebooker this guy is, Tony?
He's pointing at me. He is.
Now, I have many mixed feelings about my level of Facebooking.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you?
Well,
at one point, you quit.
Several points.
Oh, really?
Well, Natasha, this is a bit of the pot calling the kettle black here because...
I quit once.
Okay.
Yeah,
but, you quit at least once because
I felt like there was another time.
In fact, I think we talked about this in the last cast. Wasn't it that? Or was that a party? It was at one of your parties.
Sometimes your art and your life just blends together.
So true. I only quit once and then I changed my name and I pared down to only people I really want.
Nice.
So now I only have like 90-something friends.
I'm glad I made
And now I enjoy it. Like before when there were too many, I didn't like it.
How many did you have at your highest... friend,
I mean, not that many, even.
95?
Maybe. That's right. I mean, it was less than 400, but it was too many.
Yeah.
Part of me, like, I want to do that, too. What I want to do is put a little, like, Nate Shelkey fan page and then have, like, friends thing, you know? And because and then I'm kind of looking forward to that because that would be a fun little decision process. Because some of them will be easy. You know, it'll be like, I don't even know this person, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be others, so you'll have to evaluate them.
Right, right. You know? I'll need to prove themselves.
No, I actually didn't do that. I just forgot the other one. I mean, I deactivated it.
And then I started afresh.
And
that's
just
awesome.
And then I would forget people I wanted.
Yeah.
I felt kind of bad.
Collect them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great. It's a positive Facebook experience, though.
It would be nice, like, if you could look at your feed and just everything you see is something you want to see. You know, because, like...
Exactly. That's what it's like now.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Because before,
It's just a lot of, you know...
And also, like, posting. I didn't post very much because I didn't want, like, a lot of different people to see.
Right. See what?
Well, it's just, like, I felt like, I'm saying too much. Like, they're going to be annoyed, whatever. Now I feel like it's mostly people that like me.
I agree. Because, like, you know, like, that's the thing is that, like, I'm friends with a lot of people I don't know and stuff, and... And there's some things like for instance, like if I'm going to be on TV or something like that.
For instance.
And like, so sometimes it'll be like, I'll have a nice part, and sometimes I'll have like nothing part.
Right.
And I want to let people know that like actually won't care.
Right.
You know, but you don't want to like make a big deal about it because it's not like a huge deal, but it's still a. It's still a deal, you know.
Can we just say, anytime Nate Shelkey's on TV, it's a big deal.
It's
right?
a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal for our
Come
listeners.
Come on, that's a big deal. Are you getting warm?
I'm getting warm. I'm thinking about turning on the AC.
Okay, you can turn it on.
Is everyone okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
I have a sweater. If I get cold,
yeah. Here we go.
The purring beast.
We just revved up the cast, guys.
There we go.
Kicked it into high gear.
I feel like we should talk about this.
Should we segue to the movie?
We saw Frances Ha.
We did.
And the way this happened, by the way, was because of my prolific Facebooking.
Via Facebook.
Because
I love your prolific Facebook.
Thank you, Natasha. Sometimes I feel like I post too much.
Oh, yeah. We should.
But then sometimes
that
a good friend will tell me that they like it.
Yeah.
And I got to say, there are some people who. Sometimes I'll make a post, and I will wait and stare at that Facebook. And if nobody likes it within a minute or 2 minutes...
You're going to delete it.
I'll delete that shit.
Interesting.
Because
I
need the justification of a like, and I value different likes at different levels.
You know what? This is interesting. Let's bring this up right now. Because earlier today, Nate said to me...
Oh, yeah.
I liked that picture that you posted on Instagram. Well, I didn't like it, but I enjoyed it. And I was like, well, why didn't you like it? How hard is it to hit the button?
I know, but I honestly think I was like, you know, driving or something like that.
Sure.
I saw it, and I thought, like, oh, I like that. That's cute. And then I, like,
The thumb. Like, what happens? It was too much work to hit it really with your
is.
Thumb.
It really is.
I mean, human face-to-face communication that you liked something is one thing, Nate.
Yeah, exactly.
But did you care enough to click a button?
Exactly. And I was telling
you Well, I didn't want everyone to know that. You know?
That's the point. Is that what it is? Yeah. I've actually had people, I told Tony, tell me that, I really like that post on Tumblr or whatever, and all I can think from that moment on is, oh, really? Because you didn't.
Right.
You didn't when you read it. I didn't see a little heart next to my Tumblr post, so
exactly.
I mean, nothing.
It's the worst, and sometimes I think too much about, like, what I'm posting and when I'm posting. That's the weirdest. Mm. Sometimes you're like, I'm gonna wait.
I'm gonna save till Monday morning.
Yeah.
Save till Monday morning. People are at work. They're gonna see it. You don't wanna waste this gold on a Sunday. Nobody's gonna see it.
What are we talking about?
Especially in California.
Just anything.
If you post something Sunday night.
Yeah.
Half your friends are asleep in New York.
Exactly.
They're not going to see it. It's going to be buried by cat pictures the next morning.
Yeah. Are we talking about Facebook posts, Instagram?
I'm talking about
anything,
Facebook.
Anything.
I don't do Instagram.
Typically Facebook.
Instagram
anytime, really.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Instagram.
Like, but if it's a really good Instagram, then I double it and I hit the Facebook button, too.
Yeah, I do that with kids' pictures.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel bad doing, like, a series of kids' pics on Instagram.
Your kids' pics are very... Usually there's... It's not just a pic of a kid. You curate those pics very well.
There's usually
something special about them.
Thank you very much.
I'm a kid pic curator.
Well, that's because you don't follow me on Instagram. Because Instagram, it all goes. And then if it's extra special, then I'll put it on Facebook.
So with Instagram, you're using no filter, literally.
Just a lot of junk mail.
That's right. Then I will feel bad because it's like a series of pictures. I'm like, how many people? But whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't have that many followers.
That's the thing. Like, on Instagram, I don't have many followers, and that's how I feel, too. I'm like, just like, everyone, you like me. Look at this.
Exactly.
You can hide people. I was talking with our friend. I'm going to name drop right now.
Yeah,
I was talking with Matt Pack the other day.
That's a real name drop.
And he said that maybe I'm blowing up his spot here, and I shouldn't say this. You tell me, Matt, in person. Maybe we're not friends anymore. But he said...
If Matt listens
to that. Yeah, I'm sure he does. he told me that every day, when he goes on Facebook, he tries to find somebody in his feed who he wants to hide from his feed forevermore. Like,
I do enjoy hiding people.
And he's not satisfied if he hasn't found one person who's made a post that annoys him enough to hide
them. That makes no sense. Just unfriend
them. Defriend
them,
yeah.
Really?
Of course.
But if you unfriend them, that's kind of an insult.
Only if they can find out.
Listen,
because a lot of times, if you're not that good of friends with them, they'll never know.
They'll never know. And if you're actively seeking to hide people, just come on. Let's just go through that list. Chop, chop, chop. Cut people out.
I guess
Or you could just, like, castrate them, essentially. where they can't see anything.
You block them from your Facebook.
Yeah, like, you not necessarily block them, but you give them no access whatsoever. Like,
what access?
You can just, let's say, you can see my profile picture, and that's it.
I did that with somebody.
She called you out on it.
Yeah, a platonic friend.
Yeah. Mm.
She called me out on it. We ended up not being friends anymore because of it.
Well, why did you do that?
Because she kept posting annoying shit on my wall. So I feel like we were going down a road away from friendship.
Yeah, that's another level. I don't like when people do that.
Yeah.
Nobody does that to me.
This one guy that does it, and it's like, it's a friend of a friend, and like, and I'm not going to defriend him because it would cause a problem if I did,
He
posts on certain things, and I never like any of his comments. They're always like just weird, and you're just like, not funny, but trying to be funny, and I just like, and I wait like maybe 3 or 4 days, and then I delete his comment, because then I feel like he'll never see it again, you know? But at first, I let him have his thing.
His moment of glory.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys something. Have you ever been defriended?
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Yes. How was that?
Awful.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
It's really terrible.
Because at first, like, you think it's a mistake. You know,
think it's a mistake.
Oh, really?
I know it's right off. Mistake, yeah.
Really?
The first time it happened to me, I was just like, and I think it's only happened twice that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a mistake, and I was just like, oh, what's this? What?
Was it someone you were close? No.
Yeah, both of them were like ex-girlfriends.
Oh,
you know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's different.
And then
different.
Just a friend.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm talking
about. Yeah. I don't know if I've... Well, there's only been one that this is why I think the other times I thought it was a mistake, because one time it was a mistake. Sometimes Facebook is buggy, and it's like, it'll appear like this person's not your friend anymore.
Mistake, yeah, though.
Exactly.
Because they were my friend again. You know what I mean? Like, and you can't be my friend again without refriending
me. Here's what happened, Nate. I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. They deactivated their account temporarily.
Oh, okay.
Because when that happens, you'll search for their name and it won't come up and you'll think this person unfriended me.
Yeah.
And then the next day or next week or whenever, you'll search for their name and, oh, they're my friend again. Yeah. But what happened was they temporarily deactivated their account and then they reactivated it.
Is that what happened? Is that what happened?
I mean,
sounds like what happened.
It's possible. I don't know. Like, she was like, oh, no, like, you know, and
oh, you asked
her. Yeah, I asked her.
Okay.
And she could have
been
like,
lying.
Yeah, she could have been lying.
But they
true.
Couldn't be friends again without a friend request
coming. She didn't defriend me.
True. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's either what Tony happened or some weird Facebook
thing. What happened with glitch. You?
Oh, an ex-girlfriend defriended me.
I'm not talking about ex-girlfriends, guys.
Okay.
Come on, that's obvious history.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about someone you were, like, kind of friends with.
Right.
And all of a sudden
there have been people who defriended me, and I think it's just... Sometimes I can be, I worry that sometimes I'm annoying on my Facebook posts, and I think this guy was probably, we weren't close friends.
But then why don't they just hide you?
Yeah, they should just hide you.
Whatever.
Well, I guess I just
I
just went
you're
back.
You're full of contradictions.
I'm confused. I have a confusing relationship.
It's tough,
there,
you know? And then where do you guys stand on family? Because that's, like, one of the biggest things, too. It's like, we're all comedians.
Right.
Live in the comedy world. Uh-huh. We like to post sometimes some things that are a little risque.
My parents are not on Facebook.
Yeah.
They never will be. Mm-hmm. My sister, I have kind of a weird relationship with. Mm-hmm. And we were Facebook friends for a while. But then she defriended me.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, weird.
It's just, like, I've had, like, certain... I'm friends with some of my family, and then there's certain people that I just left open. Like, I know I didn't confirm or deny, because I was just like, I don't know. Like, my uncle did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. And then my mom and I are Facebook friends. My mom was deceased, but she's still on Facebook for whatever reason.
That's so crazy.
And it's just like, but she never looked at it anyway. Like, she was like, needed my dad to show her. And my dad sometimes threatens to get on Facebook, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, I have Brett's family, and they're all Mormon.
Yeah.
So sometimes, but I love them all. I mean, they're great.
But do you find like
you can't...
Sometimes
I worry about like cursing.
Exactly,
or
yeah.
Then I feel like, oh, and also because some of them are young. And so I don't want to... I do... On Instagram, I definitely do, because my niece is on there, and she's 12, and every single picture she likes. Like, she just goes through. She never doesn't like anything.
That's kinda
so
sweet.
I know she... It's very sweet, but I just know she sees everything.
Right.
So
exactly.
I do censor myself, not so much on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I will say... But to me, I was defriended by Clyde's ex-physical therapist.
Clyde is Natasha's son. I guess people know that.
I don't know. But thank you for being clear.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yes, and we were friends for a while. We both were training for a half marathon together. But I didn't really like her. She's very, conservative. And she would say a lot of things that upset me. Just, like, these bums... She's talking about the quote-unquote bums in Venice.
I've thought about, clearing, and this seems like, I don't know, I go back and forth on this, but I've thought about just carpet bombing all, anyone just, like, totally conservative and,
yeah, exactly. But
and just, like,
thing,
all
like,
of them are gone,
I
know?
Didn't like her either. I didn't know that she didn't like me back. And then when she defriended me, I was like, what the fuck? And Brett was like, you didn't like her. Like, what do you care? What's
but
the
everyone
deal?
Likes
like,
to be liked.
Yeah. You know? I was like, I didn't defriend her.
I patently reserve my I want to be able to dislike people, but I still want to be liked by everyone.
Exactly. I had no idea. I didn't say anything bad. And she would, confide in me about her weird relationship. And please, I was there for her. And then I saw her in Target, and I was like,
but
in Target trying to be friendly with me.
I know.
She unfriended me.
That's
it's clear.
BS.
Yeah.
The audacity.
Thank you. Exactly.
Well.
All right.
Should we move
on
to the main event?
Yes.
And talk about the movie.
Yes.
Now, we decided to see, based on this Facebook post.
There we go.
of Tony. Oh, Tony, right. When did you first hear about this movie, and would you like to introduce the movie?
Certainly. So we saw Frances Ha, film by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. Mm-hmm. And I had read, I think, a piece in the New York Times about it months ago.
Oh.
I try not to read a lot of
think piece, huh?
Maybe, yeah. I try not to read a lot about movies before I see them, mm-hmm. if I'm going to see them.
Yeah.
But this, this was my first introduction to the movie. It sounded great, and I immediately thought, I'm going to see that movie. I don't want to read much more about it.
Was it a positive, obviously?
It wasn't a review, because the movie wasn't done being made yet, but it was sort of like, here's what we're doing, and this is coming out eventually. And it sounded great. And so many, by the way, there are very few movies, I don't know if I'm becoming grumpy in my old age or what, or if I always was, mm-hmm. but there are so many movies that I have no interest in seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost never interested in seeing a movie these days.
Really?
Yeah, because I go to the theater, I see a movie, and it leaves me totally unmoved, mm-hmm. unaffected. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Star Trek earlier.
What movie did we see together?
We saw Ruby Sparks.
Yes, that was good,
and it was great.
It
was great.
Yeah.
But when I see a movie coming out that looks like it deals with real human emotions, mm-hmm. and people acting like real people, mm-hmm. and not a cartoon character, I'm on board. That's why I love the show Girls on HBO, which both of you should be watching.
And definitely this movie has been compared a lot to Girls.
Yeah.
Because I have read a few things about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I prepare.
Oh,
for,
really? Do you?
For a movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Not all the time. Okay. Most of the time, no. Even that's why I said sometimes. And in this case, I had read an article about it, and then this morning I looked over some things about it because I was curious.
I heard the WTF interview with Noah Baumbach about it.
See, we're professional.
I mean,
You know? Yeah.
So I posted on Facebook this week, I'm really excited about seeing Frances Ha, and it's rare that I want to see a movie in the theater or under any conditions. And then I got the fateful invite to be on the cast to see Frances Ha on the Roco Review with Nate Shelkey and Natasha Levenger or Christensen. But here's the thing. I would say it was not a Roco.
No.
Yeah. I would say it was a Placo.
We've become a what?
A Placo, platonic comedy.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Oh, but I think you could still have a Roco, you know, because there's bromances and these types of things. I think you can
have the periphery. They're on the periphery.
Because, you know, that's what's funny is, like,
we saw Beyond that Pines movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we break the rules.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Come on. It's our
You guys,
we can
I want to point out two things. First off, when you watch this movie, I think, as a viewer, there's two things you're wondering the whole time.
Okay.
The first thing is, it's all shot in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, why do they shoot in black and white? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to shoot in black and white? So we're going to talk about that in a second. But I want to hold this over Tasha's head because we can, Tony.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
The second is, Frances Ha? Why is she called Frances? What's the movie called Frances Ha?
She saw it.
Oh, you did see it. Yeah. Oh, we can't hold it over you. That sucks. Great.
Let's let the audience in. I had to pee like crazy, and I kept holding it because I kept thinking it was going to be over.
This movie was only 87 minutes long.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I have to be able to make it through this. And then by the end, I was like, oh my God, I can't.
Josh kept leaning over to me and Tony and giving a status report.
The dam is about to break.
I did it once to each. Come on, let's go. Anyway, and then I had to let it out in some way. Then I stood up.
You're like the little Dutch boy. Someone's got to break.
I thought it'd be easier to stand up, so I did. And then I stood up for the end, so I could see it.
Yeah.
Let's just say that's revealed at the end.
Now, in these things that you guys have heard and stuff, does he talk at all about this black and white, why he wanted to shoot in black and white? What does he say?
He just said he wanted to.
What do we think? Because here's the thing that I was thinking about while I'm watching it is, in terms of film, like moving film, what does black and white do to it? You know, because I know like the idea between, you know, in photography, still photography, what it does.
Well,
you know?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
First, he said he just wanted to, and then he said the happy effect of it was that it really focuses you because in color it brings more like memories to mind for people. Like they get distracted by it's just. It just gives it more focus, he felt.
Right.
I definitely see that, I think.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a magical quality to some of the images that I think you would only get in black and white. There were some shots of, I can't remember her name, but the friend of Frances, the best friend.
Sophie.
There were some shots of her where the light was reflecting off the front of her glasses in this way that just made her look like a drawing almost. Oh, and it was like, this is, and it was really, really neat. Mm-hmm.
How did we feel about this movie?
It's one of my, it's going to be one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, nice.
And I really loved it too.
I loved this movie. I really did. I was thinking, like, I was like, the black and white thing, it didn't like bother me, but I was also like, I don't know, like, that it adds anything. And then seeing it in a modern context, it really does sometimes just feel like, you know, someone like just clicks on the like black and white, you know, filter kind of thing, where it's like,
you don't like that, you mean?
I just don't know, like, how much it added. I did those, like, see. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
well,
oh, okay.
I feel it did do what Tony said and what he said, which is it made it more focused. Mm-hmm. It made it just, like, I don't know, it kind of gave it its own special quality.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it just made the story stand out more.
I mean, that being said, I love this movie. Mm-hmm. I do have to say, like, it was so funny, like, because this, you're right, like, I was reading something recently. Oh, I think David Sedaris was talking about this. He's like, I like to see movies and just anything. He's like, I read things about people that have lives that are nothing like mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why he was like, you know, if someone's like, you know, like, got rich off of cheese, you know, whatever it is, like, yeah, you know, yeah, they'd be like, I will read this because I, you know, I can't imagine what their life is like, you know. This movie is different because this movie is like kind of like, you know, New York in your 20s.
Exactly, and three of us, we all met in New York.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we didn't meet in our 20s, but I moved, or in my 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I do feel like, to a certain extent, if you live in New York in your 20s and you're not wealthy and you didn't grow up in New York City, you are there because you are striving for something.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is going to be somewhat like this because, and which might be one reason why I liked it. I don't know.
And I think it's, I was talking about, I had lunch with a friend of the cast, Wengert, Joe Wengert, the other day, and we were talking about it. I don't know, like, in what, how it came up, but I was saying, like, you can't get around this in New York. And maybe in LA this happens, but of course, you know, we started in New York, is you're going to meet some people that are independently wealthy. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still in your set of friends.
Right.
And it's weird. It's uncomfortable. It's like, you're like, you guys don't have a day job, and like, money's not a problem for them, but they still choose to live shittily. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and it's this weird sort of thing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You never encountered this in New York?
I actually feel like that's more in LA, where you're like, how are you not working? I feel like every single person here is like somehow not working and able to do it. And like, how is that happening?
Right.
Whereas in New York, everyone had jobs. Here, I feel like almost nobody has a job.
I mean,
and how is that happening?
In New York, I encountered it all the time. Really? And it was so weird because you would have that, like, kind of thing. And so that, I did appreciate this. Everyone she encounters, like, some of these people, they're just, you're like, oh, why is she friends with this person? I hate them. They're awful, you know? And but they're not, and part of it is just, they're just in different stratas. Like, they can't, the rich people can't conceive of what it's like to not have money. You know, like, there's that one conversation that I thought was very poignant, you know, of, like, where that character Ben is saying, like, you're not poor, you know, but she is poor, you know, and she's like, well, poor people would consider that offensive. And it's like, but she is literally poor. She can't make rent, you know, and that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. You've experienced that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I wasn't meaning all the rich people.
Oh, I mean, especially in the comedy scene, just, you know, theater and comedy.
Who's
totally. It's like half of people are like are independently wealthy. You might not know it because like they don't broadcast it, you know. But they are like just
I'd like
hanging out.
Name names after this.
Yeah.
Let's name them now. JK, y'all. JK Rowling.
But you know,
I know. But I say it. I say it too, but independently of you. And then I found out you say it.
That's funny.
And it made me feel closer to you.
So no, but I loved it, and I do feel. But it was like some of these characters, I was kind of like, you know, like, because that character, there's kind of like a possible romance.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and
why
I
would you ever go for this guy?
Really?
You liked him?
Oh, I loved him. Oh. I wanted them to be together.
You're talking about Benji?
Ben?
Mm-hmm.
He's awful, though.
Why is he awful? Did you think he was awful?
I didn't think he was awful, actually. Okay. I thought he was not great, but I didn't. I don't think he was like a bad guy.
I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's just ignorant, and I think that he's completely like pretentious and, you know, just stuck in this world of like that he's rich and money isn't a big deal.
Of
you know,
if he's rich,
I kind of agree with both of you. I absolutely agree with Nate that he was very self-absorbed, not self-conscious of his privilege at all.
Yeah.
But I think he probably, and he was not the most major character in the movie, but I feel like he seemed like fundamentally a decent guy.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy.
But just kind of not, certainly not the right guy for her to get married to or whatever.
I really wanted them to.
But like, you know, an okay guy. And that's another thing I like in this movie. Everybody was kind of a pretty good person. In real life, most people are decent people. Mm-hmm. You rarely meet, like, somebody who has no redeeming qualities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's difficult to write a character who is flawed, but not wholly bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great achievement of this movie.
I mean, the big centerpiece of this movie is the best friends.
Yes.
And that Sophie character upset me sometimes. Like, I didn't understand why she moved out. I didn't understand...
I thought that was a great, like, central thing. You know, the friendship, of course, is great. But that idea, I think, is so... It's something that I think most people go through in their lives, is that you have someone who's your best friend, mm-hmm. you know, and then at some point, they're going to get attached to someone.
Right.
And they have to sort of move on with their life.
Right.
You know, and i.e. become less friends with you.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's just not anything against you.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's awkward to continue that level of friendship.
But then why did she leave? I didn't understand.
You mean to move to Tribeca?
Yeah.
Well... I think
in the
totally
beginning,
possible.
They're totally roommates. They're like, so much so, Sophie didn't even want her to go sleep in the other room. They almost seemed like they were lesbians together.
they did. I think, like, sometimes, you know, a certain quality will trump the friendship in terms of your living situation, i.e., like, it's like rent or like a mm-hmm. specific thing, like she said, like, this is the street I always wanted to live on,
mm-hmm.
you know, that'll happen sometimes, you know, so I always want to live in the city or whatever it is,
she was so flippant about it.
Yeah.
It's upsetting to
but
me.
She just as quickly could have moved in with her boyfriend, you know what I mean? Like,
but she didn't like that guy.
She broke up with him, but at the same time, that was like the central issue, is that like the friendship meant more to her than the boyfriend.
Right.
Whereas for her, the apartment meant more for her.
Right.
Yeah. So. Now, there were also a central thing in this was dance.
Mm-hmm.
She's
mm-hmm.
a dancer,
mm-hmm.
Greta Gerwig. Have you guys, what was your experience like in life with the dance world? Have you, is there any, in any intersection?
I dated a girl who used to be a modern dancer.
Oh, wow.
And she took me to a bunch of her
movie.
Friends' modern dance shows, mm-hmm. and which I loved. I know nothing mm-hmm. about dance.
Mm-hmm.
I love experiencing art that I know nothing about because mm-hmm. I can't overanalyze it.
Right.
I just have to experience it.
Oh.
And modern dance is, there are aspects of it that look so silly to me. Maybe this is insulting to modern dancers, but I mean this in the best possible way. That it looks like, you really have it's like freeing to watch. It looks freeing to do, and it doesn't feel pretentious to me like certain kinds of art that I actually know things about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably just my ignorance.
No, what's
you somehow
that?
Indicate to this car that we're not leaving.
No, they think we're leaving. We're not leaving.
Some drama on the cast.
I
spent so much time in, like, you know, just coming up in the theater. You're just aligned with dancers, like you take classes with them.
Oh, you mean like in college?
In college, but even in New York, like I spent so much time,
really?
Like it, like I had a theater company and we would do shows that were like paired with dance shows and stuff like that. And so I spent a lot of time, and yeah, and I've dated some like modern dancers too. And
up top.
And it's I would agree with you, but it's the most confusing thing. It's the kind of art that I understand the least.
Yep.
I don't understand, like, I'll watch it. I remember talking to this one girl, and I was like, I don't understand how you decide to do this thing before that thing. I don't get it at all. I don't see the narrative. Mm-hmm, although sometimes, you're right, like, sometimes there'd be these hilarious things that they'll do, like, kind of a narrative. Like, she even, her piece was almost like that in this, where it's like they're walking down the street, you know, or they'll have, like, a relationship through dance or whatever. Or one I remember from college was, like, you know, this kind of, like, respiratory kind of thing. They would just do all this breathing kind of thing.
There's some comedy in some modern dance. Like some of it uses comedy.
An organic opening.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. I would say like a lot of them do resemble that. And then and so it's weird because you're dealing with, you know, these people that you kind of don't understand like their world. But I'm fascinated by it and I do like going to them, but I don't even know how to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like because it's so bizarre. And then, like she experiences this movie, the life of a dancer is so short. It's so short. It's crazy. Exciting.
I guess it's like being a movie star, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we can all relate to that. Being a beautiful movie star like Julia Roberts. How short is that?
And well, you know, and her character in this movie is 27.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's just
that's
like
crazy.
And there's these people like you're old. You know, it's like, oh, your face is old.
It's funny that she said your face looks old compared to Sophie's, because I actually was thinking right before that Sophie's face looked old.
Yeah.
They both kind of looked old.
Really?
Yeah.
So?
Maybe it's the black and white.
Oh, really? I think it's the black and white, because I don't think,
I don't think she does, but I thought Sophie did.
I just want to quickly derail this. Did you guys see Greenberg? Yes. The movie that Greta Gerwig kind of came to prominence in.
That's the one with Ben Stiller. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, I loved that too.
Oh, really? I did not like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was just like, okay.
I didn't see that. I know her more from
Mumblecore,
and then also, you know, she's in It's Complicated too. She plays one of the daughters in that.
Did we see that together?
I think we did, didn't we?
I don't know. I remember I liked it, and I was ashamed of liking it.
Oh, really? No, I don't think so. I think Nancy Meyer throws a good romantic comedy.
Yeah, come on. You know? We're here, aren't we?
It's like, I think it's they're funny, and then you want to live in her houses.
Yeah,
you know?
Well,
I mean,
of course.
Those things are amazing.
So, also, one thing that stood out for me in this movie was when she went to Paris for the weekend.
Yes.
She couldn't afford it. She put it on a credit card. And she spent the weekend in Paris doing, all I kept thinking was this is exactly what would happen to me if I went to Paris. She slept the whole time.
Yeah.
And didn't really do anything. Yeah. I know that's what would happen for me.
So much of the movie felt so real to me.
Yes.
Even though it didn't, you know, there are aspects of it that don't mirror my personal experience exactly. I mean, I've never been a woman.
Right. Yeah. As far as we know.
But it felt very real. I was laughing so frequently throughout this movie, much more than I would laugh at a movie that was considered.
I thought this movie it was great, and in terms of like there'd be like scenes or interactions that were totally just day to day, but it's still like really interesting and fun, because sometimes you could go the other side, i.e. like a mumblecore thing where it's just like so real you're just like but like for instance the scene that made me laugh a lot was when she has the date with Adam Driver and then she has to go and get money. And that was just like, oh my God.
Too. That made me so happy I don't live in New York. Because that only happens in New York, I feel like. It's like,
Why is everyone cash only in New York?
The screen comes up that says, like, fee $3, and she takes a beat, and like,
I've done that.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
To get access to your own money, you have to pay $3.
Exactly. Yeah.
Plus a fee assessed by your own bank, probably.
I mean, guys. I don't want to turn this into
Occupy Wall Street
thing about our banking system, but if we needed to, we're going to do it.
We could go there. I often think about that, like how $3 is a lot for when you're taking out $20, but like if someone was like, here's this car, it's $15,000 and $3, then you wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's a lot of extra money.
Let me talk about this, because I was paying for something on the way here. I bought candy and stuff. I brought it in.
And believe me, it was very stinky.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, apparently I had this green apple licorice that was really stinky, according to Tosh, right and
into
Tony.
My nose buds.
No, nose buds.
And
that's what they call them.
Okay. That's funny. And it was funny. That's what I was laughing at. There was a point in the movie I just laughed for no reason. It's because I went to get some more green apple liquors, and it did release this, like, waft of it. And I just laughed. I was like, yeah, I'm that guy. There's worse guys to be, though, than to be the green apple licorice guy.
It's true. When someone brings in, like, a whole, like, meatball sandwich or something, I'm like, oh,
it's the worst.
Come on, you can't eat
it's
that.
It's like Indian curry soup or
in
something.
In a movie theater, yeah. I'm not prepared like, sensorially to absorb that. Is that the right
Your
word?
Nose buds can't take it.
That's right.
Well, I'm like paying for the stuff, and it like won't. Well, it's like first, like, would you like to donate for this? And I'm like, that puts me through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And at least it was like the screen, but I wasn't prepared for it. But I wanted to ask because we all seem like nice people. Tony believes that everyone is generally nice, and I'm gonna put it to the test here.
Like
okay, a lot of grocery stores you go to, they try to pull a little fast one.
Guilt you.
At the end, you know, like, would you like to donate $1 to people with cancer or whatever it is?
I never do that.
Never.
Zero times.
Well, I will do it if it's something, like, I always do it at Petco,
because
I am an animal rescuer person and lover. Yeah, so I always do it there. It really depends.
You know, and the thing to me, I never do it, but sometimes I'm insulted by the way they phrase it, because sometimes they phrase it to make you feel like an awful person. At Albertsons, I think they phrase it this way. They say, would you like to help homeless people or something like that? And you have to say no. And it's not like, would you like to give a dollar?
Right.
You have to, you just have to say, no, I would like not like to help homeless people.
I'm just buying Ben & Jerry's. Fuck the homeless.
Yeah. I mean, if the shoe fits.
Yeah.
You know, because you wouldn't like to help homeless
people. At the end of the day, no, I wouldn't.
Right, that's the thing. I do give to homeless people.
Yeah. I want to talk about two things.
Turns out
that...
I'm the only nice one.
I don't think I do that. That seems about right. Two things that I'm thinking about brought up by this. First, I want to talk about Men with Two Cats, because this is part of the movie. Second off, I want to talk about the whole craziness with, what's that clothing store?
Abercrombie.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the homeless people in a moment. But first I want to talk about this. There's a funny scene. Who's oh, it's her old boyfriend.
It's boyfriend, yeah.
In the movie opens, it's her boyfriend, and he's thinking about getting a cat. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and I get this one, too. And she's like, oh, why would you get two cats? She's like, well, you got to get two. They're going to be buddies. Who's going to be their buddy?
Exactly.
And I was thinking of Tosh the whole time. Because when I got a cat, this is what Tosh told me.
Well, what I said was, and it's true, and I think he said that. Well, maybe he didn't say it. But two cats is just as much work as one. It's not like with dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs are work, by the way.
True.
We got a dog, and it's so much work compared to a cat. You don't do anything. I can't believe more men don't love cats. There is no work
involved.
But then
Greta
Gerwig's
character is like, but then you're just going to be single.
With two cats.
Yeah, and she's like, why? Because, like, she's like, because you'll be... a man with two cats,
which
you know?
Is what you are. Is that
now I only have one,
okay.
But I so long was a man with two cats.
Maybe it's kitten
but I've had
season.
Girlfriends with men.
It's kitten season.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that again because you didn't react.
What do you mean it's kitten season?
Well, I mean it's
she wants
season.
To get me another.
You don't know what kitten season is?
I don't
care
about cats.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm a dog person.
We're further underlining the fact that Tosh is the only nice person.
And let me tell you
here.
Something. That brings something up that I've thought about a lot.
Yeah.
Dog people, or people who love dogs, often say, like, I'm a dog person, I don't like cats.
Yeah.
But cat people, you will rarely find a cat person that's like, I don't like dogs.
I'll tell you why.
They like all animals.
I will tell you why.
Okay.
To like a cat, you have to do a lot of emotional work, because that cat is not bringing much to the table.
Okay, let me explain.
No,
you're capable,
thank
if you're capable of loving a cat, of course you're capable of loving
no,
a dog, because
wrong.
The dog is a friendly,
stereotype.
Loving ball of joy.
I know, it's a total stereotype, and I also
thank
think
you.
The best way to get a cat to come over is to just not give a shit. Because, like, they're gonna fucking come over.
Let me explain.
That's how I
to
date.
You think people, you think people are mostly good. I grew up, let's just say, down a notch to sadness. I grew up in a family. They were not nice to me. Who was nice to me? The two cats.
Nice.
They were my
good
family.
Sense that.
It's true. They were like my best friends.
You were raised
always,
by cats.
I basically was raised by cats. I was alone.
Can we get into this? Like, how? What do you mean by they were not nice to you?
Oh, my mother was mean. She was absent, abandoning, and not nice. I mean, very rejecting of me. Ugh. And my father, who I love, but he traveled all the time. So he wasn't there a lot. And I literally was alone in huge houses because we had big houses growing up. Yeah. And it was me and these two cats, and they were very loving with me. And I think I became part cat during
Did they clean you? They licked you and stuff? Made sure you
they
were,
do lick me. Yeah, you. I allow that.
Yeah. Dog. That's, I have to say, like, my old cat who passed away, Jake.
R.I.P. Jake.
He, you know, I guess they say this happens if they're weaned too early or whatever, but he would like to lick you, and he... And he would also like, he'd like to, if you let him, if he could do it, he'd go for it. He would start like sucking on your earlobe. He'd be like,
"See, Tony."
And I was just like,
that's because he wants milk to flow from your earlobe.
Well, it's because cats are loving.
And it was so cute and weird and just like, it was just funny. But it's weird with the cat too, because they got the scratchy tongue. So not, I'm,
yeah, it doesn't
I
feel good.
Came
but.
From, I'm a dog person.
See?
But I was unused to the scratchy tongue business.
I'm not going to be too upset with you because you did literally rescue a dog from the street.
That's true.
Thank you for the accolades.
Touring the mean streets of Compton.
Correct.
Find a dog, and he got it.
Now, Tony, you also posted something that I want to comment on now.
Oh, boy.
I didn't comment on Facebook. Very quickly, I just want to say that you are among many men I know that are single with two cats.
With two cats?
Mm-hmm.
Who else has two?
Well...
Your Sean Clements has two.
Exactly. I got him those.
Joe doesn't have
You're a cat pimp.
She totally is.
Joe doesn't
have two anymore. Because remember, I think one went with Aubrey or whatever. Oh, okay. Didn't it? He's got Kevin Hines.
No, I think he had... Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah. That's right. He has a cat named Kevin Hines. That's right. After a human that we know named Kevin Hines.
And Will Hines, I got him his
he
two
has
cats
two.
Too.
Yeah, that's true.
You weren't even dating anymore.
That's true.
I managed to get two cats too.
Well, originally, and that was interesting, those two cats, I was going to possibly take those two cats, and then I waited too long, and Will swooped in, I guess. And then I was actually glad that I didn't take those two cats.
Yeah, because they're feral.
They were very feral.
That,
and, like,
that made
took a while
me
to
really
warm up.
Appreciative of him, because they literally were feral. They were outside Tiffany.
And they still hide.
Morningstar.
I mean,
Tiffany Morningstar. Cats. We are dropping names like no tomorrow.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
Why?
Because I call her Tiffany. I hate cats. Morningstar.
Oh,
well,
really?
You can call me Tony. I'm indifferent to cats.
No, but she's like.
She's a total cat hater.
Well, it's not that. But she had these feral cats living in her yard, and we went in. Brett did most of the work.
Yeah.
But trapped them, got them neutered, got them... They were feral. And then...
You mean, like, figuratively.
And then
metaphorically
we,
did
but
this.
Then they... I mean, this was in New York City in the winter. Like, they were in bad shape.
Yeah.
And the mother was still there, and she wouldn't let us get the mother because it was just too much work, and it was... We were doing all the work. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, please. And these kittens were out there in these terrible conditions.
Tiffany Morningstar.
Oh,
shame on
man.
You.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, I'm just going to briefly mention this, and then I want to get back to Tony's post. There's a friend of mine who, in her swimming pool, a family of ducklings has landed.
What?
Like, there's this mama duck, and then she has these, like, baby ducklings, and it's, like, the cutest thing ever. Like, they've decided the swimming pool is, like, this is their home.
That's adorable.
And it's the cutest thing ever.
That is pretty cute.
There are two
But was the chlorine going to kill them?
No, they actually go there. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to drink it.
Two ducks that come to our pool every... whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever it is they do
that. That is a good question.
And to answer your question, kitten season, there are kitten seasons when cats mate.
They do it.
In the spring.
Yeah.
And
the
so
time is
there's
right.
tons of kittens like that need homes.
Okay.
And
cats do it. Dogs do it.
So
even frogs on logs do it. Sorry.
You should get an adorable kitten.
All right.
So,
now, Tony, okay, here's something you posted.
Oh, God.
I didn't post about it on Facebook.
Of course not.
Why not,
Nate? Exactly.
I don't know. So but I think about it. Just know with both of you, I'm thinking about everything. Guys,
not
I'm
good
about...
enough.
All right. Tony said that Tony lives in Hollywood
Correct.
And said that at... Is it at Trader Joe's and is it Target?
Target.
Yeah, these are hottie havens.
You cannot walk into the West Hollywood Target nor the Trader Joe's without being bedazzled by sylphs, the likes of which I did not know existed.
What is the
kind of a fairy-like creature.
A sylph is a real thing?
It's a mythical creature.
Oh, I thought it was like MILF, but...
S-Y-L-P-H.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's not surprising, is it?
Well, what I was curious is, he disclosed to us...
He's targeting those two stores.
He ladies, he's single, and what I was curious is...
Wait a minute, but I could say, even if I was in a relationship, I am single,
yeah,
ladies.
You could still mention that.
But if I was in a relationship, I mean, I wouldn't be dead. I would be looking at hot ladies no matter what.
That's true.
I guess I might not be posting about it.
Yeah. I certainly hope not. You'd be a terrible boyfriend.
That would be kind of a dick move. Totally hot. I spent 2 hours in there. Well, what I was curious about is, I've never, movies, these romantic comedies that we watch, mm-hmm. would say, like, this is, yes, a good place to meet someone mm-hmm. and go up to someone. Because, yes, they're there.
Uh-huh.
But I've never, so I was curious, have you ever thought about going up to one of these mm-hmm. girls and or have you?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
I have not done it at Target or Trader Joe's. Today, I was thinking about this very question just today because I was killing time in Amoeba Records before heading over.
Right next door.
And I used to do this in college. I would go to Zia Records in Tucson, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of look at CDs and look at cute girls in the store and think about talking to them, but not actually go up and talk to mm-hmm. them. I think I would do it now in a record store. I don't know if the Target, the girls I'm talking about, these are like... Model type girls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that I could get away with going up and saying what's up.
You'd be surprised, I bet, who these models go after.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me ask you something.
How are these stores any different than the rest of Los Angeles? Because it seems like they're everywhere.
I know. Well, first of all, my post was a little tongue-in-cheek because it was like... Just a bulletin, everyone. There's hot people in Hollywood. It's like, duh.
Yeah.
But it does strike me. I don't know why those two stores strike me as hottie havens.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe you know why? It's partly because you don't expect to walk into Target
and see
Heidi Klum circa 1987.
Right. She looks pretty good today.
She looks great. Hey, I would take Heidi Klum 10 years from now, but not after that.
And she's single now, right?
Well, she's dating her bodyguard. I'm so sorry. Okay. I know that. That's
damn
terrible.
Cross it off the potential list.
But I think because sometimes I go to Trader Joe's and I go, but I typically like the one in Hollywood. I tend to go to the Silver Lake one, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
if you're looking looking
to find,
but there's definitely hotties there and stuff. And then I go to Albertsons, and those are kind of my two jams. Uh-huh. Those grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
And I've even gotten into a conversation with some girl and thought she was attractive, but I don't know how to finish, because I'm just like, can I really just ask for this girl's phone number right now? Because you'll be talking about something and be like, great berry selection, right? Whatever it is. They do have a great berry selection, mm-hmm. Trader Joe's. But I don't know.
I guess you could give your number. I remember.
Hey, if you have any more, if you know of any other great berry places, here's my number.
Right.
You think I could do that?
Well, you could say, hey.
A friend of mine posted on Facebook that a guy hit on her in New York City at a grocery store with the line, do you come here often? So people are still trotting out that one.
I mean, I think if somehow you could work it in. Yeah, here's my number, goodbye.
Yeah.
You don't think that's creepy? Here's my number, goodbye.
Well, but it's weird because, I guess the people aren't expecting it.
Right.
Like, for instance, if you go to a party... It's totally fine for you to meet someone
true.
And just say hey, we should hang out sometime.
But
here's my number.
You've probably been talking to her for longer than hey, these are good.
That's
theories.
True. You wouldn't do it after 30 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
I was just gonna. My point of saying here's my number, goodbye. I didn't mean you'd really say that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I'm just saying I do remember back when I, 50 years ago when I was dating, someone. gave me his number, and then he was like, I'm only giving you this if you really call me. Like, he really put me on the spot. I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. I
what is no this intention. Number so exclusive? What a jag.
He goes, okay, you better call me. I'm only doing this. And I was like, ugh.
Did you call him?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to call him, but I also, like, what are you supposed to do? Be like, actually, no, I'm not going.
Right, that's real shitty. Yeah, that's a shitty passive aggressive.
I remember, like, before, like, maybe in the early days of cell phones. And this is like 50 years ago too.
1823.
I was a lifeguard. I was actually the manager of this pool at one point.
Well,
ladies,
ladies.
Oh, shit.
And there was a girl that worked for me. That she was very attractive, mm-hmm. and there was a guy at the pool, and he like asked for her phone number, and she was uncomfortable. She was not interested. Mm-hmm. So she gave him a fake phone number. Oh. Right. He went out to the parking lot. Called the number and like, you know, and then it was like not her, you know. And then so then he came back in, you know, and it was just very uncomfortable and I had to tell him to like leave. I was like, look, pal, she's not interested. That's why she gave you a fake number, you know, like.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
And I also just feel like what does he think he's gonna get out of the confrontation? You know, they'd be
exactly.
like,
right, right,
exactly.
Okay, you've browbeaten me into liking you. Yeah. Here's my real number.
I mean, I think if you're in a Barry situation,
yeah,
that
we all find ourselves in one from time to time.
Totally.
If you feel a real connection,
yeah,
I bet the girl would like for you to do it. You know,
yeah. You're probably right because I do feel this way that if you like someone, for the most part, you can't really do anything wrong. You know, people right. just like you.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, and if what's the worst case? You misread the Barry conversation.
Yeah.
And then
she walks away and's like, some guy thought I was cute.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Like talking right. to me. Yeah. Wanted to talk to me some more. That's awful.
Right.
You know, that's true.
I think as long as you give the number, not ask her for hers.
I did. I remember now. I did ask a girl on the subway in New York.
Oh. Okay.
For we got off at the same subway. I had been kind of checking her out on the subway, mm-hmm, and we mm-hmm. happened to get off at the same stop.
That's a good Roko situation. Time crunch.
Right, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. We happened to because it was her stop, and I decided to follow her. No,
is
just
that
kidding.
True? That's not true.
It was actually my stop. And I said, I think my exact words were something like, excuse me, which is not a good way to start. I think you're really cute.
Nice.
And I'm wondering if I could get your number. I've never said anything like that in my life other than this time. She gave me a number.
Mm-hmm.
I did call it and got, not that night, and I got a message which was one of those outgoing voicemails that that you can't tell if it's real. Like, it wasn't a person's actual voice.
Like,
it was
hi, like, it's me.
It was like, no, it was more like 6, 4, 6.
Oh, right.
Is not available to leave a message.
And they don't have their name in there.
Yeah,
right. Some people, it could be real. It could not be hers.
Mm-hmm.
I left a message. She didn't call me back. I did text her a couple times. No response.
Oh, no.
So that was, I think that was the one time that I did approach and a 100% stranger.
Gosh, it must be terrible being a boy in those circumstances.
It's fine. It's
did I ever tell you this story before?
That.
Because that reminds me of this. This is my favorite wrong number that I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
In New York, I don't know what it was about my New York number, but I used to get some wrong numbers from time to time. My cell phone. And there was one number this person called, and they were like, hi, is Jimmy there? And I was like, no. He's like, well, he said he was going to be there. He gave me this number. He said he was going to eat a sandwich and I should call him back. And I was like, no.
Thanks for the details, though.
Yeah. I was like, no, he's not. This is not his number. And he's like, well, he gave me this number. And then I was like, well,
sure
it's not me.
There?
And she was like, how long does it take to eat a sandwich? He may be done by now. And I was just like, oh, my God. And she's like, you know, kept on going. And she's like, for real. Don't be joking me. He's probably there.
Don't be joking me.
You know? And I was like, no, it's not. And then she kept calling. She didn't believe me. And then, I have her on my phone as, sandwich girl. Because I'm just like.
If she calls back.
Yeah, then I just know not to answer, you know.
Oh, no.
But I was like, I thought it was brilliant for so many reasons. Because first off, I was like, props for the guy for, coming up with this dumb thing, and she buys it.
Well,
you know?
I think it's more he knew who he was stealing.
Yeah,
not a brain surgeon over there.
No, exactly. And then it's crazy that she I mean, because both parts of the story are just crazy to me. It's like, one, why would you ever, like, be like, oh, call me at this number? Like, you know, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then two, that, like, how insulting is that, like, I'm eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
Can I call you back?
Well, it's also confusing because was he on the phone with her before?
Yeah.
So did he call her? Did she call? Because if they were on the phone, didn't she have his number?
No, I think she had his number, but she was like, call this number. You know.
Why didn't she just call the regular number where she talked to him?
I know. Well, that's
let's call her now.
Yeah. Let's find out the real story.
Oh my God! I wonder if I still have her on the phone, because that would be really fun
sandwich
to do.
Girl.
Is we all call sandwich girl? Like, listen, I saw Jimmy finally.
He finished that sandwich.
Apparently, it was a big party sub, and it took a while for him to finish. But that was my favorite, because it just went on. Because normally it's just like, oh, this is the wrong number, yeah, well, you know, and that's it. You know?
Yeah. Only in New York. Well, anyway, do we have anything else to say about this movie?
I think people should see it. I don't know how long it's going to be in the theaters. It feels like a, you know, one moment in time indie.
Yeah.
So great.
But I think it's a great.
I honestly actually didn't want to love it, because I listened to that interview with Noah Baumbach. And, you know, he used to be married to Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Oh, no, I didn't
know
that.
I don't know if I knew that.
Well, he did, and then he divorced her, and then took up with this Greta Gerwig. You know, they're
dating. Oh, so he's with
Greta. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he sees his son only, like, his son lives here, and he lives in New York.
Right.
I feel judgmental of
that. I think that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. I don't like being judgmental, but I feel like that's terrible. His son's, like, 3 or 4 years old. It's like, come on. You can't live across the country.
No.
Yeah.
I think...
You're telling me Greta Gerwig has to live in New York?
Exactly. I mean, or, like, he has to live... And he... I can almost see that Jennifer Jason Leigh has to be here, because she's an actress. She's older. Maybe she needs... But he can do what he's doing anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on. So that's why I didn't want to like this movie, for very personal reasons.
I mean, great artists are, you know, and great people often are not the same.
Yes,
oh, I have one quick other thing to say about this movie.
Yeah.
It felt, I'm a huge Woody Allen fan.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me like if it had been a Woody Allen movie, it would be, like if it was this movie exactly the same, but Woody Allen had directed it, it would be the best Woody Allen movie of all time. But he would never make it because his movies...
It wasn't as funny as Woody Allen movies, though. But I don't think it's supposed to be. I don't know.
His movies would never focus this much on platonic relationships. There was zero sex in this movie, other than in, like, off-screen between peripheral characters. There was no kissing. There was barely any flirting, really. It was so much not about... romantic love, which is one other thing that made it so unique and cool, because so many movies, that's what they're about.
I agree with you.
But anyway, I thought, it was great, very Woody Allen-y, but better than a lot of Woody Allen movies.
Well, now.
Certainly now.
Talk about not wanting to like something because of who the person is.
Yeah. Slam!
Ugh.
On Woody Allen.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming, Woody, but you deserve that one.
I'm sure it hurts. That stings.
Well, thanks for doing the podcast again, Tony.
I am so happy to be back.
Anytime
you'll have me,
great
I'd love
guest.
To return.
Sure, I'll see you in Trader Joe's and Target.
We'll talking about Nate the whole time, right?
sexy, lady.
This has been
The Roco
Review.
Yay.
Boy meets girl and girl meets boy, but the girl meets another boy and likes him better. Maybe wears a sweater. It's a Roco Review. It's a Roco Review. It's a Roco Review.